Let's talk about the sixes and the tier three or three tiers in the UK. Yeah, this plan, which I don't quite understand. I understand that Boris Johnson has put forth three cities that are going to go into some sort of more severe lockdown, or is it three tiers in three cities?
I don't blame you, because I just say straightforwardly, I mean, nobody would say that I'm a person who is not able to understand things, complicated things. Even I don't understand this plan. I don't really understand it very well and what the various differences are. Okay. But briefly...
Okay. Before you say anything, I do know that Liverpool is on the top of the tier and the 6-6 list. That I do know, that Liverpool is like... I guess you would say ground zero for Boris Johnson's plan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, briefly, what's happened is this. Like everywhere else in Europe, we have now seen a massive ramp up in CV cases in Britain. Now, Boris Johnson, the government, came under a great deal of pressure from certain people within the medical establishment and the scientific community, I should say, the government's experts, basically to go for another lockdown. And Johnson seemed to be veering towards that, but he also came up against enormous resistance from his own party. So he came up instead with this sort of halfway proposal, which is that lockdowns will basically, or rather restrictions, will be imposed on a local basis, but there will be three sort of levels or tiers of them. So there's tier one, which is the sort of least severe, there's tier two, which is the more severe, and there's tier three, which is the most severe. And the problem is that many of the local governments in Northern England are resisting imposing these restrictions. And it seems to me that what we have, in a way, in a sense here, is a very, very complicated halfway house. It's neither a proper lockdown and certainly not a national lockdown. So it doesn't satisfy those who want a full-scale lockdown. But at the same time, it's a local, it's supposed to be a solution at a local level, except, of course, the local governments in question don't want to accept it either, because most of them don't want to be in tier three or tier two or tier one. Now, we can debate this, but the most interesting thing, in my opinion, by far, is to see this extraordinary change of mood that has happened in Britain. Back in the spring, back in March, there was very, very strong national support for the lockdowns. There was when Boris Johnson announced the lockdown in March, there was a surge in support for him. People across the country, basically supported it. There were criticisms that it hadn't been imposed earlier. And there was, a general feeling that the lockdown was something that people wanted and were going to support. This time, there is exhaustion and there is enormous resistance, far more resistance than there was in the spring. And fascinatingly, there is now a split within both major parties. So Keir Starmer, who is the Labour leader, has called for what he says should be a circuit breaker, by which he means a two-week lockdown to stop the increase in infections, whereas what we now see is that in northern cities in England, which are the supposedly worst affected areas of England with the highest rates of CV infection, the Labour mayors of these cities are predominantly vote Labour, and most of the mayors in these cities are Labour, are resisting even the sort of much more limited restrictions that Boris Johnson wants to impose on them. And by the way, the same is true of London. The London government, which is also a Labour controlled, the mayor here, of course, is Sadiq Khan, also seemed to be very, very unwilling to go for the kind of restrictions that some people within the government are proposing. At the same time, within the government itself, there is clearly a split with a very, very strong movement within the government, in the cabinet, led by the Chancellor, that's our finance minister, Rishi Sunak, who is also quite openly now, I mean, he's even stated it openly, opposing further restrictions and more lockdowns. And other people within the government, of course, more supportive of them, including at the moment Johnson himself, but with a large number of Conservative MPs, particularly those on the Libertarian wing of the party, opposing them too. So the consensus that existed in the spring and summer behind the lockdown then has completely has broken down. It's completely broken down. And the two major parties have split on this issue. There is no single consensus any longer in Britain in support of lockdowns. There is massive lockdown fatigue. There is also, I have to say this, huge bewilderment and bafflement about what to do in this situation.
Yeah, but with those people that were supporting the lockdowns when this first started, this thing first started, that's according to polling?
It's according to polling. Okay. The polling was overwhelmingly supported lockdowns. I should say that if you go by the polling, most people still tend to support lockdowns. But there is much more opposition now. And the business community, which is, of course, terribly important. And when I say the business community, I just don't mean the big business community. I mean small businesses, you know, restaurants, retailers, the service economy, which is very, very important in England, has now come absolutely strongly against them.
And how's the economy right now in the UK?
Well, this is the other thing. I mean, it's
the government did have they did dish out money, didn't they? They have a relief program.
They dished out a huge amount of money. There was also essentially, again, big support for the stock market. If you remember back in March, the big drama was what was going on in the stock market. And remember, London is one of the major financial centres of the world. So, you know, what goes on in the stock market is hugely important, especially for the Conservatives, who are, to some extent, you know, the party that looks after the City of London, or at least nominally it does. But not just them, the whole economy, we're getting support. But what has happened is the debt levels on the part of the government have now increased to simply astronomical levels. And the Treasury and Rishi Sunak, who is the Chancellor, the Finance Minister, are saying we just can't go on paying out money like this. So they're not prepared to give support to business in the way that they were in the spring and summer. And the result is that without that financial support, business says we can't afford another lockdown, and that means that support for lockdowns has completely drained away.
And this circuit breaker, this is the new buzzword. I'm hearing this a lot everywhere across Europe, actually. This circuit breaker idea that you're saying Starmer is pushing for.
Yes,
What would that accomplish for the country?
It would accomplish precisely nothing. That's the other thing I wanted to say. We now have also much more granular polling. And one of the things we've discovered is that though many people say when they're polled that they will support restrictions, when they're also polled about whether they will actually observe those restrictions, many of them will say that they won't. There's been a King's College study that says that. And the reason, again, is economic, that people simply can't afford to. But a two-week lockdown, which is what a circuit breaker is, isn't going to resolve the problem. If you wanted to go for a lockdown, if you wanted to use lockdowns in the way that China wanted to use lockdowns to eliminate CV entirely, which is what China did, you wouldn't lock down for 2 weeks. You'd lock down for 5 or 6 months so that, you know, it all basically stops circulating. Britain can't do that. I mean, it's absolutely clear that that isn't going to happen. But a two-week lockdown isn't going to stop or slow down CV. Well, it will slow it down for a couple of days and then it will start rising again, because that's the nature of the thing. If it continues to circulate, then if you have a circuit breaker, you know, a 2-week lockdown, it's like a glass of water. You drink it and, you know, it satisfies your thirst. But in a short while, you need another drink. And it'll be the same with lockdowns. A 2-week circuit breaker, you have it. The numbers then will start to rise again. And then if you're committed to this strategy, you will have to impose another and another and another and go on like doing that forever. An impossible idea, completely crazy, no, completely unworkable.
Yeah, but I want to forget about like the health stuff just for a second, because I'm trying to understand what is the economic and the political logic of it. Why are they doing this? Because to me, the circuit breaker doesn't sound any different than flatten the curve for 2 weeks. I mean, I don't see the difference between flatten the curve for 2 weeks or circuit breaker for 2-3 weeks. They were saying the same thing. But what's the, I mean, there has to be an overall political and economic purpose behind all of this, because it doesn't make any sense on, you know, I'm using my logic. All these countries all over Europe, it seems like they want to actually implement a policy of start and go, start and go. Start and stop, start and stop. It seems like they're deliberately trying to do this. And I'm trying to figure out what's the, I don't think there's a scientific reason, but what's the economic or the political reason there?
There is no scientific reason. As I said, if you want to go for a full Chinese-style lockdown, that has its own logic. But the kind of circuit breaker thing has absolutely no logic. This is my own view. I think it's a lot of people have it. And by the way, one of our former chancellors, Lord Lamont, Norman Lamont, has made exactly that point. He said it makes absolutely no sense. You're just going for stop-go. The reason Starmer is proposing it, and I will say straight away why. He has had no policy on what to do for CVs. He's been criticizing the government through the spring and summer, and he's been saying that the government hasn't been at all efficient and is completely incompetent in the way that it handles this matter. And of course, people have come back and said, well, you know, what would you do then which was different? And he hasn't been able to say what he would do, which was different. And eventually he seized on this circuit breaker idea to give himself something that would separate him from Boris Johnson. I don't think it's impressed many people. And of course, it hasn't impressed many people in his own Labour Party, because, as I said, we've seen that the Labour mayors are not supporting it. They're not supporting restrictions of any kind at all.
But is this start and stop thing kind of like a way of easing into this concept of resetting the economies? And I'm not going to say the buzzwords, because we may get a, you know, everyone knows the buzzwords that I'm talking about here. Everyone that's watching this. So is part of the plan kind of saying, you know, we can't do a Chinese style thing, because then, you know, people will get out in the streets. Either people are just going to completely ignore it, or it's just going to be a complete revolt. So let's just do a start and stop kind of thing and ease into the, it's kind of like a slow, God, I don't want to get graphic, like a slow bloodletting in a way, you know, like you're killing the patient slowly, instead of just, you know, saying boom, you're gone, because you just can't do that.
It's death by a thousand.
Yeah, is that the ultimate goal? In other words, saying, you know, we have 2-3 years to do this re-engineering of the world, so we could do it start and stop.
That may very, very well be. I mean, some people who are advocating it may absolutely be thinking like that. And I mean, you know, this normalizes, if you like, a sense of crisis. So we have a couple of weeks when, you know, life seems vaguely normal, and then we have a 2-week lockdown. I mean, it just, which will be utterly debilitating. I mean, economists, I mean, you know, Alex, you're a business person. You've run your own business. You know that businesses can't function in that way. I mean, they can't function on a stop-go situation from 1 week to another. I mean, that's impossible. That is completely impossible. But that seems to be, to some extent, what the plan seems to be. And at the same time, you normalize it and maybe you achieve it that way.
Yeah, but you break someone psychologically as well. In other words, you're running a business. I'm running a coffee shop down the street. And 2 weeks, you know, it's open. And I can finally get back to business. And then, you know, a month later, and then after that, it's shut down again. At the end of the day, as a business person, you just kind of say, you know what? Then comes Jeff Bezos. Comes walking down the street and says, you know what, I'm going to buy this whole block. Is that all right? You say, you know, just freaking take it. I've had enough. It's a headache. I've had enough.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. And I mean, I'm sure that is already happening to a great extent. I mean, businesses are closing down now across Britain at an accelerating pace. I mean, I haven't been able to go into central London for a long, long time. But I understand that parts of it now are almost a ghost city. I mean, my wife travels to central London because she works at an educational institution, and that's operating at a certain level with a lot of virtual teaching. But from what I've heard from people who have been to central London, there are parts of central London which in the summer looked like they were out of, you know, it was scenes like from one of those sort of, you know, US science fiction movies where Trafalgar Square, Piccadilly Circus, they're completely deserted. It's not quite like that now, but it's pretty much more like that than it's been. And small businesses simply can't survive in that way. So perhaps it is, I think, to recalibrate economies. I have to say also, though, I get the distinct impression that governments in Europe are completely panicking and they just don't know what to do. In Britain, you know, the sort of famous track and trace things have never worked very well. Even in Germany, where they did briefly, they're being overwhelmed, apparently. I mean, the speed of growth of this is beyond anything that they can control. So they don't really know what to do. That's my impression about it.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I think there's a lot of, and I'm sure a lot of people in the comments will talk about what the testing is and all these policies. But once again, on an economic standpoint, what's the logic, the political and the economic logic of Boris's current plan? Is he trying to keep the economy open while satisfying his detractors?
He's trying to keep the economy open. But again, as a business person, you know that if you impose regulations that are incredibly complicated, and this is what the three-tier system is, I mean, that in itself creates problems. I personally, as I said, struggle to understand this plan. I don't fully understand what each tier involves. Most people don't, by the way. It's all very vague and unsure and uncertain. None of us knows how far the restrictions go in any particular set of situations. We don't know which town is going to be affected and which not. So how do you operate a business in that way? I mean, it's very difficult to see. So we have this sort of semi-world of we're both locked down and we're not locked down. But I think he does want to keep some parts of the economy going. He apparently, as I said, resisted calls for a full national lockdown. That's what the government scientists, were pressuring him to do. He resisted it because he knows there's a very little support for it from within the Conservative Party. He resisted it because the economy probably wouldn't take it. And I think his own instincts were against it too. I mean, he's always traditionally been on the more libertarian side of the Conservative Party. So there is pressure for a national lockdown, but he went for this halfway house, which isn't succeeding. By the way, same pressures are now applying everywhere. I've seen that even Sweden is now talking about, you know, local lockdowns. They haven't done anything about it yet, but apparently there's talk about it there too.
Yeah, I think that would be, I don't know, that would be a shock to the world, I think, given what we know about Sweden and the approach they've taken.
Well, I know we would, but apparently, I mean, this is the growth every. I mean, the other thing is, and this is the other thing you must consider. Now, you know, and I'm making no point now, either for or against. But of course, one effect of all of this, I'm sure, is that it's going to soften up people in advance of the coming of vaccines. So if there's opposition to vaccines, and I'm, you know, there may be some perfectly good, valid vaccines. I'm not making an anti-vaccine point at all. But if somebody has a vaccine, if Mr. Gates has a vaccine, I'm just giving a name, then, as I said, if it's presented to people right. as the way out of this, then they, you know, I can imagine that a lot of people who, say, 6 months ago might not have taken it, might now be persuaded to take it. And I was very, very interested to see that, since we mentioned Bill Gates, that he is apparently talking about vaccines quite a lot, as he always does. But he's also saying, you know, some vaccines are good and some vaccines are not good. And you shouldn't touch vaccines from certain countries, but you should certainly go for mine.
Right. Certain countries, he means like Russia.
He means like Russia, yeah. China, okay. And India or whatever. I mean, those sorts of countries. But yeah, I mean, he's basically, and I've also noticed, by the way, that some sections of our media here are now running, the Times newspaper especially, have been running campaigns against certain vaccines from certain countries. So, you know, you could argue, I'm not saying to what extent this is the motivations, but one effect anyway might be to soften us up for a vaccine. And a vaccine coming from one source as opposed to another. I mean, to what extent is it planned, I don't know. But I'm just throwing that out.
No, I definitely see the logic there. Once again, I mean, if you're strategizing this, if you are, I'll throw the name out there of Bill Gates, and you're strategizing this, definitely you would not want a full scale lockdown of the country, because that would just, I mean, people would just, like we said, people would revolt. Yeah. So you then kind of take it to like a war of attrition in that, you know, you start and stop, you wear people down psychologically. Yes. You know, it's like you're attacking your enemy and you're just, you know, pounding their position and firing at the position, you know, over day after day after day. And then every couple of days, you don't attack, and then you attack again, and then you don't attack, and then you attack again. After a year or two, you're so exhausted that you say, you know what, just put anything in my arm. I mean, just exactly. Shoot me up
to bring it all to an end. And I do get the sense that this is, I mean, well, as I said, this is certainly how it's starting to shape out now.
No, yeah, definitely. I think there's, without a doubt, a massive psychological component here.
Yes.
Massive.
Yes. Well, there is a psychological component. I should say people of all ages are now becoming increasingly affected. My wife works in the higher education sector. Her university, her college, has been fairly well organized, and it's been held to a minimum there. But we're hearing terrible, terrible things from other universities and colleges up and down England, and students are having an absolutely terrible time. And this isn't just the case, of course, in Britain. I know someone who's a student in Amsterdam, and they're going through a terrible time there also.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the worst part about it is that the Bill Gateses and the Nancy Pelosi's, you know, she can go into her hair salon and get her hair blow dried without a problem, but you know, everyone else is struggling. Everyone's struggling, and that's the big difference.
It's interesting you brought that up, because notice how little comeback there's been about that. I mean, we covered that story. Not a story about Nancy Pelosi. It's, you know, that we covered that fact, that thing which happened, but the news, the sort of big news, didn't really follow up with it. I mean, there were no major criticism of her about it at all. And I just was reading in one of the newspapers that Tony Blair has also apparently broken restrictions. It was, and again, I read about it in one newspaper, which is a conservative newspaper here. But if you go to the sort of classical left-wing ones, there's just no reporting of that at all. So all right. some people, you know, what is due to go back to George Orwell, the great English writer, you know, some people are equal, but some are more equal than others. Exactly. All people are equal, but some are more equal than others.
Exactly. I mean, well, it is an Orwellian time, much to my dismay. He seems more of a prophet than a writer at this point in time.
Well, it would certainly seem so. And by the way, that really astonishes me, because at one time, not so very long ago, I used to think that the world was evolving in ways that had proved him wrong. And it turned out I was quite wrong about that. Things turned out, shall we say, completely differently.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. Guys, subscribe to the channel on BitChute and Odyssey. Also Rumble and Brighteon will be coming soon as well. Go to those websites, subscribe to us. There, of course, you're always welcome to subscribe. To YouTube, but videos like this, I don't know how well they're received by YouTube. So go to our shop, support us there, and please sign up to help us out on Patreon and subscribe on PayPal is coming soon, as well as credit card Stripe as well for stuff that we're going to be doing with a lot of exclusive content and books and discounts and all kinds of things. So your help is greatly appreciated.
Just to remind everybody to come to our shop to find the great things. You'll see that as we are talking about Britain and British subjects, I'm wearing a UK shirt with the flag of the United Kingdom there. And of course, I've got my UK magic mug. But of course, we've got magic mugs with flags of many nations now. And we also have hats with the flags of many nations. And here is mine, also with the flag of the United Kingdom. I've got two, in fact. And you can see it perhaps a little more clearly in this one. There's the flag of the United Kingdom. And we're also getting talk. We're hearing more and more about Scotland breaking away, which would make me very sorry if it did happen, by the way, because I'm very much a British loyalist, but a British patriot. But if it does happen, it happens. And there will still be another nation which I will be a proud citizen, and that'll be England. And you can see that we've got the flag of England on one of our enameled mugs there too. And we've got hoodies, and we've got ebooks, and we've got wonderful things. So come to our shop, support us by coming to our channel, and Alex will quickly remind you how to do that.
You'll find all the links in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Take care, everybody.